Welcome to the ministry of Reverend David Edigenfi. Reverend David is the founder and president of Kingdom Mystery Center Worldwide. He is an end-time apostle mandated to raise matured sons of God who will explicitly manifest their identity in Christ. Reverend David has a dynamic music ministry and is the author of Dangers of Wrong Marriage. His strong passion for soul winning has spurred Jesus for All Missions, an evangelistic crusade ministry. Now listen to Reverend David Edigenfi.
This morning I want to talk to you about being guided by the peace of God. This is actually a month of what? Jesus' peace. Being guided by the peace of God. Wow.
Wow.
How many of you believe that you need the peace of God? You see, the reason why we get peace wrong is because of how the world defines what peace is. You see, the world defined peace to imply that aligning with order or aligning with protocols or aligning with expected, codes or whatever.
We are saying Tremu, Edifa, Asumuje, and home, and he said, Wouldn't Yama Eto to be a ya and da? Now I feel so near your shame, made everyone channel, obey no sape pepe.
The world thinks that without alignment, there cannot be peace.
We are saying, Edwin said, Sir one for one home, and dump near echo, and I say, Yes, shame, and everyone channel, Asumujains, and I say.
But the definition of peace by the word of God is not the same as how the world defines peace.
So,
like our monthly scripture says, it says that my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. So we have the world's peace and we have God's peace. I say we have what? The world's peace and we have God's peace. We have peace that comes from Jesus Christ. And the peace of God, the Bible says that it surpasses understanding. What it means is that when we consider understanding, by understanding, it is understandable for things to be harmonious where they are in order, true or false. Now, it is not normal for you to see stability in chaosity. Are you here?
We are here.
It is not normal for you to see triumph, prosperity in scarcity. It is not normal for you to see tranquility in frustration. It is not normal. Now, the peace of God may not wait that all things must be done in orderly or all things must align. So that the wife of Job will come to Job and say, why don't you curse God and die? He said, why do you talk like a foolish woman?
Job Job said, I didn't see now na unwu na ni kokache ni said DNT na wukasa say ojimi fu
because she was talking considering the peace of this world. If it is not consistent with the way things are done in the world, that means that it is not peace. And that is how the world defines peace. But God defines peace very differently. And I came to tell you that the peace of God will govern you. Let's read something from Isaiah 54, the verse number 10. I'm speaking very shortly. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that have mercy on thee. Very powerful scripture. When I saw it yesterday, I said, wow. My covenant of peace. He said, it shall not be removed. My covenant of peace, it shall not be removed. He said, the mountains shall be removed. They shall be removed and the hills, they shall depart and the hills shall be removed. You will see a shaking. You will see movement. You will see instability. He said, in the midst of those things, when there is curiosity in the economy, when the family is struggling to survive, when your body is weak, too weak to sustain you, when fear grips your heart and you don't know what to do, the Lord sent me to tell you that he has a covenant, and the covenant is a covenant of peace. Everybody may be seeing something different and be worrying for you, but the covenant of God's peace will remain with you. It will keep you in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, you don't know how important peace is, and I'm about to show you. God guides us by his peace. If you're a believer, it is a covenant that God must guide you. And I am here to tell you that God is a covenant keeping God. I say he's a covenant keeping God. He will guide you. He's under that covenant that no matter what, you must be stable. You must be assured. You must not be under anxiety. You must not have problems. The Bible says that 1,000 shall fall at your side. It said 10,000 on your left hand side. You say, when it happens like that, you will not run. You will not flee. You will not fret. You will not shake. You will not be worried. You will not cry. But with only your eyes, then you'll be seeing the reward of the wicked. It will not shake you. You say, with your eyes, you will behold the reward of the wicked. Can I tell you something? God rarely stops the storm. God rarely stops what? The storm. But he always wants to show you that he has power over the storm. So the Bible says that when it was so stormy and windy, and the disciples alone were left in the boat on the sea. He walked on the stormy water. The other day I was reading the Bible and I was like, we have always thought that he was walking on a very calm water. He said Jesus walked on the water. He was walking. Go and look at the Bible. The Bible said it was stormy. So what it means is that if you have been at a seashore before, you will understand that at a point the waves will lift him up, but he was stable. And to take him up, bring him down, the waters will crash and splash. But he kept walking. He kept walking. Going up and down. He kept walking. Going up and down. He kept walking. He never calmed the storm, but he was calm on the storm. He never calmed the storm, but he was calm on the storm. Now, the disciples said that.
Of your cell
phone, you can say,
we are summoning.
Then he said, I'm not a ghost. Why did they say that?
It's in our car, sir.
Because they feel ghosts are entities that live out of this world. So they have power over the elements of this world.
And some are food here. And your sassy soon, I won't want to. One word to me. And what a near my edituma assassin.
But Jesus told them, I'm not a ghost. It is I. Then Peter said, if it is you, he said, bid me come. And then he never said, let the storms be calm first. He said, Peter, come through the storm. Step forth. Don't be afraid. I came to tell you that the storms will not come, but he knows how to calm you. He knows how to get you stable. He knows how to make you a master of the situation. He knows how to make you a master of the situation. This is what Satan is taking advantage of us. And causing a lot of Christians to miss their way. So you could see a lot of Christians going to church because they feel they are in need, they are in want, they are sick, they are broken, there is a problem, and a lot of pastors will come on the internet, disappointment, promise and fail. Hey, that is not what he promised us. Jesus can let you live with a disease for 100 years and never die. You can be a cancer patient, he may not cure it. Paul said, I sought the Lord 3 times on this matter, but he didn't mind me. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I see this thing there, but I'm not ready to take it out. Paul, you're going to live with it, and you're going to prove to the situation that you are the master of the elements of this world. No, come on, give him praise. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. So people will invite you to certain places, put you at certain places, and cause you to submit to strange powers. Come and drink. Yes, the need to solve human challenges has been the problem of our digression and our diversion from the truth.
Say you to me the yano aba or how nipa and nemuno and no ama nipa e to me and every and no cremu.
No crack wine so.
No crack wine so.
Because we are hungry, brother. Because we are hungry, we want money.
It's sir, sir, come with the
engineer.
When I sell the don't buy.
Okay, bruh. Come, he is the way. If it is not Jesus, it is not the truth. Because every way that is Jesus' way is the truth. And if it is the truth, then it is life. Oh, come on, give him praise. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So he told Peter, I said, come.
And
Peter stepped on the water.
Now Peter and
kept going.
Now
he kept going as long as he focused on Jesus.
And
he kept going as long as he focused on Jesus. He kept going. But the Bible says, Peter Peter considered the waves and the storm.
Peter,
now the moment he considered the waves and the storm, the Bible said that he started sinking. When you read the Bible in Psalm 35, he said what? They looked unto me. They were not ashamed. Their faces began to shine. As long as we focus on the Lord. Jesus is not just a person. He's a phenomenon. He's not just a phenomenon. He's a solution. He's not just a solution. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the lamp. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not salvation. He's a savior also. He's not just a provider. He's the provision. He's not just the healing. He's the healer. He's not just Jesus is all in all. As long as you keep your focus on
him,
you can be sure of your stability. They can now point. You see, this world, I have been with my father on the sea before, so I know what it means to be on the sea.
My father was in the Navy.
And one day he invited my mother and I over. And one of the serious times on the sea is at night. When you are in the deep sea and it is late night, sometimes there is a mist, you see. There's a certain mist that covers. When you're in the sea at night, the only time you can have hope is to see light somewhere. When you see light, that is why on the seas, a certain place, we have what we call lighthouse. So tall tower, then there's a light. Give me a signal that there is a country here, or there is a docking avenue here. Now in the night,
can you actually say,
when you see light, then you know that you have company on the sea. Either another vessel is coming, or there's a country you are getting closer to. But this time, there was no light. And the vessel was moving. When you come out of the vessel and you come and stand at the, I don't know whether to call it back or whatever. Then you can see the speed at which the vessel is moving. You can see fishes, sharks jumping in front of the vessel. Terrible things are happening. Like things that you will be scared. But when you are in the boat, when you are inside, you don't see. It is terrible. There are some ships that have swimming pool in them. There are some ships that, I mean, a lot of ships have restaurants in them. You can be there and eat and feel stable. Don't feel like you are on the sea. But when he brought us up and I saw
the way
what a shock. Is that what is happening here? Then I asked my father, but how do you see where we are going?
Do
you know what he told me? He said, on the sea, we don't travel by sight. We travel by knowledge. I said, what do you mean? He said, what we see ahead is not necessarily what we consider, but the compass we read. If we say we are going northeast, and we move the ship, and we realize that it has shifted from NW, it means that we are far from it. So if it is going west, south, then that we have gone some way, we have to manage and find of this. And when we get to east, we have to keep the ship at what? At northeast. He said, as long as you keep the ship at northeast, by the help of the compass, you will surely arrive where you are going. Jesus is our compass.
Yes,
in this world.
Compass.
I said Jesus is our compass in this world. I said Jesus, not your pastor, not anything. Jesus is our compass. So that nobody come and tell you,
Say you be my control.
They are supposed to replace my face with Jesus' face.
I was say, what would they make? What would you yes when you
for
what?
Jesus, he said, I am the way, not yes, the way. I am the way,
but
not the way.
Way.
He is the only way.
I said, many no.
There is no any other way somewhere. Jesus.
Yes.
He's a heavenly being. He's not an European. He's not an Asian. He's not an African. He's a heavenly being. Anything from heaven consists of everybody. Consider ye now, we African, you are there, we are there. See a cassia, shiba, cassia, pa, yes, with Africa. I can, let's go down. You will realize the root where it's coming
yes,
from.
Yes, or ye
you'll be very surprised.
Ocean, I won't touch us.
When he was born,
Raya won, no, no.
What was the first country he was sent to?
Oh, my Benedict,
where is Egypt?
Where is Egypt?
Where is Egypt?
So, Egypt? Where is Egypt?
Thank God he was not born in America. He was born in Nazareth, a village.
Yeah, one Nazareth.
Which you cannot trust. Ekwaya America.
Ekra.
Pompous. And my God, you see, no matter how you would dislike the Eastness, he said, oh, these are Muslims. Jesus was born in the East.
Yeah, we yes, so
you don't know. He was born in Israel in the middle of what? Muslims. He's everybody's God.
And so you're being
he's everybody's God.
So you're being
the day he was carrying the cross, an African helped him to carry the cross.
At the
point he was tired. And they sent an African guy, black guy, to help him to carry it. Don't be deceived. Brother, we have not been called to follow anything like Jesus, anything close to Jesus, anything that looks like Jesus. We have not even been called to follow whatever is following Jesus. We have been called to follow Jesus and Jesus alone. We have been called to follow Jesus and Jesus alone. Nothing else. Stop going after things. The devil is just taking advantage of your struggles, your pain. Be wise, it's an opportunity for your faith to be built. To trust God.
Now we don't want to nyame so
for healing. And then build up your faith.
Now if you will
but rather
now so.
Are searching for solution.
So
there are people that don't mind. I was talking to somebody. I asked the person, I said, so, if you find a husband who is a drunkard, you realize, okay. You see, when we say it looks like an addicted person. Somebody who sips small, small. He sips a Christian. An acclaimed Christian who sips small, small. I said, my sister, what would you do?
We
will trust God. You will trust God. And you can trust God for a sipper to stop sipping. And you can't trust God to wait for the right person. Man of God, is it not a shock to be in a church?
So be what? Sorry.
And you can see a prophet prophesying to an unbeliever. Now, and there is nothing salvation about the whole thing. And I see you in a certain contract, and I see your Lord, and I see the hand of the Lord. To the extent of saying that I see the hand of the Lord upon you, you think God has been putting his hand on nonsense? So today, people go to church without thinking about being saved. Recently, we're talking to an elder of a church. And he was like, he's born again. I mean, he's so so and so. He's an elder. He does that.
Was
the elder's fine? Let's. So we started discussing.
And
started discussing. And then at a point, he has said, ah, Charlie, this whole born again thing, How can you say you are something you don't know? A lot of church leaders are going to hell with church posts. They are dying and they are going to hell. Why? Because the altar is not pointing to heaven. It is pointing to any other thing apart from heaven. Pointing to prosperity.
Yeah,
all altars are pointing to prosperity.
Others only point to healing.
Others, one day, one guy came to Jesus. He said he needed healing.
Oh
God, do you know the first question Jesus asked him? He said, do you believe me? Do you believe
me?
He said, I believe, but help my own belief. Jesus always wants us to believe in him. Now listen to me very carefully. And don't make this mistake again. The calming of a storm. Listen to me. The calming of a storm is not a proof of God's greater love. Say again, the calming of the storms in your life by God. It was God that did it. By God. It's not a proof of God's greater love.
God loves me.
Man
of God, God really loves me. And God calmed the situation. And today I'm here.
The calming of the storms around you is not a proof of God's greater power. It's not a proof of God's greater faith. It's not a proof of God's greater love. The coming of a storm is a proof of how God doubts your faith. So after he calmed the storm, he asked them, why? Oh, ye of little faith. What it meant is that if they had faith, Jesus would have stood somewhere and watched them do the show. And watched them handle the matter. Jesus will watch them going through that there's a sickness in their body and they have authority over it. That is why healing, though it's an act of God, it is not God's demonstration of, it's not the demonstration of God's greater love. Divine help is the demonstration of God's greater love and power. Let me show you something. Anytime a person walks in divine health, Jesus gets more excited than when you receive healing from him. It takes faith. Okay. Certain amount of faith to run to Jesus. Sometimes it is not even faith. It is fear. Do you know what it takes to walk in divine health? Number one, it takes obedience. It takes wisdom. It takes knowledge. It takes understanding. It takes discipline. It takes prudence. It takes faith. It combines a lot of spiritual virtues. A lot of spiritual virtues. Because you believe in the scripture that says,
I say,
physical exercise profit by little.
I say, well, now,
and that is why you get up in the morning and you go up and down and you are doing this and you are doing this and you are doing that and you are doing this and you are doing that. One day, I got out and I realized that my wife was sweating. And
sorry, we send me you ain't free.
I realized, oh, you men of little faith, you don't have faith. Look at us. We are not jumping, but look at us. Look at us.
Shaye.
In no time, I realized actually, I have to be. Recently, I visited a doctor. I said, you know what the doctor said? He said, Pastor, I beg you. Pastor, I beg you, please find a gym. Pastor, I beg you.
And Shabiana may call or drop with any people. So for me, throw. Call gym.
God will never do for you what you must do for yourself. Many people have arrived in heaven by foolishness.
Let me
say, many people, they have arrived in heaven by foolishness. They were not supposed to die the day they died. They died because they were foolish by not practicing wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Because if the, look at what the Bible said. The Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. So to obey that physical exercise profit by little. The word of God, that is faith. Number two, the knowing of that scripture is knowledge.
Now I feel so.
Number three, practicing it is a proof of your understanding. Be consistent with it is a justification of your discipline.
Now
it takes many virtues to walk in divine health, but it takes just some simple virtues to receive divine healing. So Jesus is proud of them that do not forsake more than those who forsake.
Yes,
the last time, the Bible says something. He said he healed all them that were sick. Casted out the devils.
So
it even means that to forsake, you have given Satan access into your life. Because there are devils in your life. How did you get that? Satan will never have power upon everybody's life. Anybody's life. Until there is a place of sin in your life. So even certain sickness is a proof that you are not living right. Some sicknesses are healed by the mercy of God. But we take grace to live divine health. I receive. Bible said that it's because of your mercies we are not consumed. That means that but for the mercies of God,
we're supposed to suffer
HIV. But for the mercies of God, it takes the mercy of God to preserve and to restore you. But it is by the grace of God to walk in a sustained life. Walk in the wisdom of God. You walk in the knowledge of God. You walk in the peace of God. You walk in the understanding of the Lord. You walk. Yes.
Amen.
Are you getting blessed here?
Yes, sir.
So I told you that I'm talking to you about being guided by the peace of God. And it may look to you like I have not mentioned it. When it comes to the peace of God, when you are driving on a road, recently I was talking to a daughter. And she was taking a decision. And while she was talking, the palpation of my head, my heart, increased. Then all of a sudden, I saw a big street, a high street. Now, when I saw the high street, everything about the high street was okay, except one thing. All road signs were okay, except one thing. The line that divides the high street. When you are driving, there's a white line that divides the high street. I saw that that line has been painted red. So I told her, Sister ABCD, the road ahead is red. Careful. Careful. The road ahead is red. Everything, the curve, the whatever, I saw road signs on the road. Everything was okay. But that line was red. And that particular line has a lot of things he says. If you're a good driver, you understand the word when you are driving and you see that line continuous without breaking, it means that you can keep going. There is no curve dancing.
So yes, you can keep going.
If it's a highway, you realize that it is. You can fire small. Keep going. But when you are going, you realize that there's a break.
He begins to warn you. Some of you are not learning. You don't know this thing. You have been driving and you don't know this thing. You see, there's a break. That means that, my friend, start slowing down. Something's ahead. Then you realize that the brakes now begins to get continuous. It means that there is either a junction or something active there. Slow down. When you finish, bring me driving school fees. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
But that particular line that I saw in the vision concerning her was red. And this one, it was continuous. And where I was standing, I saw the vision. From where I stand to where the line starts, it's like from here to where the wall is. So it's like there was nothing here. But all of a sudden, as you get here, you see that the red line has begun. The peace of God in the life of a believer is like road signs. It's like that line in the life of the believer. Peace is not something we practice to get. Peace is part of the redemption package. The Bible says that the chastisement of our peace, the chastisement, he has paid for our peace. He has paid for our peace. So as a believer, you are supposed to walk in peace. You are supposed to have peace. You are supposed to be stable by peace. You are supposed to be governed by peace. You are supposed to be guided by peace. Now watch something. Whenever you are about to take a decision, there are three things that every believer must consider. When one of them is missing, no matter how nice the decision is, don't take a decision. Don't move. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is joy, love, peace, righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And before Jesus left, he says that I am going. I will send another comforter. And then he will guide you in all things. That means that the Holy Ghost is supposed to guide us in all things. Now, the guiding system of the Holy Spirit. The word is in all things. In all things. In marriage. In your finance. In your feeding. In the drinking of your water. He guides. The Holy Ghost, he guides us. There are a lot of ministries of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us. Another thing is that he guides us. The Bible says that when it comes to the guiding of the Holy Ghost, one of the way he guides us, everything that he guides us, three indicators must always, actually, they are four. Listen, they are four. Peace is connected to rest. You must have the rest of God, but peace is connected to rest. So they are three. You must have joy. You must have the peace of God. And then you must have the righteousness. What it means is that, let me ask you a question. Can I have two gentlemen and a man? A lady, come forward. Two gentlemen and a lady. Quickly. Oh, why? Are we old men? No, sit down. I don't expect you people to be sitting down. Yes. Sunshine. I'm happy. I've been using your wife for demonstration. This is a Christian brother, a tongue talking. Pastor Ima, you know Pastor Ima already. Please come. Please stand here. Don't look at your husband's face, oh. I beg. Don't look at your husband's face. Akama, you are not married.
Akama,
you are not married. And you are supposed to choose one of these ones. All things be the call. Who would you have chosen?
What should be beer? We are so firm.
He said he's a tongue-talking brother.
He's Pastor Ima. This one's Satri.
I'm writing yourself for Ima. Where you south?
You go for Pastor Ima. Why? Because you feel like he knowledgeable about the things of God. Is it not a good decision? Hello?
Hi.
Is it not a good decision? It's not a good decision. But it is not every good thing that is the right thing. That you have come to a place where you are supposed to choose between two good things. The question is, what is the righteous thing?
So I bedum pemper swana near my papa me and wenim. No, it's all fair move back on. Sabreno near so besides a day in a
knowledge can never help you.
Sabreno, nim dear to me, wow.
At that point, now when you read the Bible says, add to your knowledge virtue. That means that even knowledge is limited at certain height.
Joseph said, fa nepa.
Our strength to overcome temptation and trial is connected to our maturity in the things of God. There are some people, when you go and tell them,
hey,
have you heard what your wife has said? Your wife says, so. You just get up. Hey, why did you say that?
But if you are mature
enough, in the things of God, you will understand that woe unto him that put his trust in men.
You will take your time.
And then you will investigate. You will not rush. Why? Because you are grown. So people will just react. It is only children that act and react to colors, noises, sounds, just like that.
Because
children like colors. No, maturity will demand discernment. Maturity would demand discernment. Even having understood it, you must walk in discernment to judge. So the Bible says that he judged all things by the fear of God. Maybe another time I'll go into it. How the fear of God guides us in judgment. So you realize that he's choosing Pastor Ima. Now, I want to ask you a question. Before then, one day,
Dako.
Dr. George came around and he was preaching.
Dr. George, Eba,
I said, who is the father of this man?
And I'm saying, Papa, nature,
so when he finished, I asked, Doc, who is your father? Then he told me, Dr. Crawford. So I went to do a whole research on Dr. Crawford, moved to meet Dr. Crawford, met Dr. Crawford. And I realized, Dr. Crawford is not like Dr. George. Like
Dr. Crawford.
Like two different. So how did it,
Dr. George, you know, and my bra?
How did it happen?
So quite been away fast, so it's here.
It is very easy that when I've not seen Dr. Crawford, I would have chosen Dr. Crawford because any bampuni di any papa di. You know me so.
Me so.
When it comes to disjudgment,
a basa atembo we huwa.
Your knowledge that she's LP. She sings in church. These are basic things. She's a woman. She's LP. She sings in church. When she sings, the anointing flows. They cannot help you. Because she's LP. Yes, we know LPs. She sings in church. I know a singer who finished singing and goes to Hacienda. When she sings, the anointing flows. I know somebody who lays hands, people fall down. And at the end of the day, he falls with the people. So what are you talking about? When it comes to judgment like this, this is the time to rely on these three things: righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, righteousness, peace and joy. And mind you, the order is that righteousness, the order starts with what? Righteousness. He said, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He said, he that has what? A clean hands and a pure heart. That gives you what? Ascendancy. Peace is actually the justification of the agreement of your consistency with righteousness.
And also,
joy is the conclusion that you have found it well.
Okay.
So somebody's here. You may have committed a sin.
Maybe I know why you're born.
1 or 2 some time ago. Do you see how you felt so disturbed? When it happens like that, you may be dancing here, you are happy, but you may not be full of joy. You are not at peace. Why? Because the decision you took was not righteous. So first of all, it is a righteous decision to marry. It's a good decision to choose the best person. For you men would always look at what is outside. But I look at the heart. This gentleman is wearing a coat. He preaches to you. He prays for you. But you may not know. Because if I had put it John the Baptist here, and I had put it today's pastor here, you may have chosen today's pastor over John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist never wore suit. No. You may not know. Maybe there is something ahead that will not be okay with you. And this gentleman is rising by the grace of God. Rising by the grace of God. And it is only God that knows the pace of the rising. Rising by the grace of God. And this one is falling by his own act of foolishness. Falling by his own act. And he knows how to wear suits. He knows how to preach. And you know how to look at things from the outside. When you begin to pray, as you pray about this, the Lord will begin to speak to you. Last week I was telling a daughter, when you start speaking, first of all, number two, something in me begins to disagree with what you are saying. I feel like what you are saying, you are lying.
I don't care
how nice what you are saying. So, and far more than seven hours, I believe you are the Holy Ghost who I have trusted all these years. And it turned out that she was lying. Five boys are not God's gifts necessarily.
Oh, so yeah, Brant, come on.
And five girls are not necessarily God's gifts.
So yeah, Baba, come on, and also interested.
The unfine ones may be walking in their wilderness today, and that is why they don't look nice. But let the grace of God come upon them. Let the peace of God find them. Let their season of rising come, and then you will see that there was something fine. There was honey in the carcass. So do you know what Jesus said? The Bible said, he said, be anxious for nothing.
I say and pray be home.
But in all things, with prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. Then he said, and the peace of God will guide you. The peace of God will do what? In all things. Sometimes even when you're about to eat, you should pray about it. Lord, do you want me to eat? One day, I woke up and I felt like I should fast. Some way, somehow, you know that way that you feel like, I said, oh, Jean, I didn't know. I said, oh, take a decision. And before I realized, meaning I'm catching one of them, I said, me can't share. Many people are going to say, me dear, you know. By the time it was evening and I was going to sleep, I felt so weak in my spirit. I felt so weak. God knows what we don't know. One day, I told my wife, I'm going for a retreat. And we had a struggle over the thing.
Now,
I was in the office. I said, Baya, let me go. To stay with your wife and to stay with God, which one is more good in the eyes of humans? Which one is more good? Come on, talk to me. Talk to me. Don't be richer than I. I'm the one that fathers you. I say, which one is more good to stay with God? Wow. A man is going to stay with God. And my wife says that. My wife didn't tell me don't go. She said, I can't tell you not to go. But I'm not happy.
You're
not happy how? And then in my head, I pick my bag and I went. Every day I arrive where I go for my retreat, this particular time, when I arrive there, the kind of reception, peace, and sleepiness that I have, I couldn't have it. That night for the first time, she knows that when I travel out, my first night, I sleep like a tired horse. This time I couldn't sleep. The following day, I was frustrated. Before I realized my car has broken down, immediately I told the people as I'm going, I packed my things. They bought up 700 Ghana cedis to repair my car, lost many things, and then drove back. I don't feel like I should stay. When I arrived home, I realized I had peace in my heart. Man of God, up to now, I don't know why I had a peace, but I felt more okay. Sat with her on the dining table. We were eating and she was telling me a lot of things. We were talking. I said, for the first time, I didn't understand why. You know what the Holy Ghost told me? She said, I have always told you, whenever you are about to fast, ask permission from your wife. It never came into my mind. You know the Bible says that when you are about to fast, ask permission if she agrees.
Trust him, sir. Don't
you know I'm the man of God? The voice of the Lord is calling me. I have to go. You want to be my Delilah?
It's
like you want to be my Jezebel. Hey. The peace of God must guide you, my brother. You feel some way about it. You feel some way. Some of you are here. When you come to us in the office, we feel some way. We feel like, no, if you say, when you're about, you're bam, but you don't have the peace of God. When it happens like that, man, you may not be able to explain, but don't move. Don't do it. No matter how. But see, the peace of God, it guides us beyond understanding. So we may not be able to understand it. But as long as the peace is not there, stop it. Stop it. Don't do it. Because you are being led from a dimension far above knowledge, far above understanding, and far above whatever you think you are. God has a way of working. And that working, the way God works, it breaks supernatural law. There is a natural law. There is a supernatural law. But there is a power that breaks supernatural law. So you realize that it is like this. How can you tell me in the natural sense, how can you tell me to plant in the season of drought? They planted, the Bible said the same year the guy harvested hundredfold. How can you show me a vision and tell me that lean cow is swallowing fat cow?
You don't
understand. It's not possible. Fat ones must swallow lean ones. Two of us.
I was sending check and see, and then many many. Who are our phone?
Be guided by the peace, please. Be guided. The Bible said, it's the multitude of counsel. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's a difference between me. Man of God, please come. Man of God, everybody listen to me. There's a difference between me, okay, and the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? I can see, you can sit in front of me and I will be advising you and counseling you.
Me too.
In the realm of the spirit, we have something called the ministry of counseling, which is part of the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it the spirit of counsel. And the Bible says that in the multitude of counsel, there is what? There is safety. I'll be counseling you, and it will look like it is really the Holy Spirit. But Pastor, is it possible? Yes, it is possible. It is possible for me to shake your hand and still feel the perfume of my hand in your hand. When you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, sometimes you become so familiar with his ways that it is very easy for you to move when you have not even involved him and you think he is the one moving you. So David again inquired of the Lord so that he doesn't move without the Holy Ghost. You sit in front of your man of God and he's counseling you. If it is truly the Holy Spirit giving you that rhema,
no matter what,
you will feel the peace of God. If you don't feel that peace of God, it is not the Holy Ghost. He's speaking from his anointing. It is possible to speak from the anointing and not speak from the person of the anointing. And a senior prophet came to the younger prophet and said,
now,
angel of the Lord appeared to me and told me, you should eat. Meanwhile, God has told the person not to eat. And then they say, do some pempens. There is a certain obedience God is expecting from you that goes beyond knowledge, that goes beyond understanding, that goes beyond whatever you think it is, even the honor of men. But it comes to the place where it must purely be by God.
So the Bible says,
Jesus said, what I see my Father do,
is what I do.
Paul advised his people. He said, follow me as I do what? Follow Christ. The endorsement of a man is only permitted to be appreciated if he is consistent with his Christ. The wrongest thing a woman would ever do is to marry a man who has not made Christ his head. That man does not qualify to be a husband. Fine mustache. Nice collar. TikTok. He's only taken to all your foolishness. The Bible said that the man is the head of the woman. and Christ is the head of the man. So if the man doesn't have Christ as the head, he doesn't qualify as a husband. This is the wisdom for the church, not for the world. And the church must walk in the wisdom of Christ. The church must not walk in the wisdom of the world. Hey, listen, don't talk like that. Talk consistent with wisdom from scriptures. I was talking to Reverend. I said, look, one of the things I've seen about you guys is that you appreciate knowledge but not wisdom. So you know the scriptures, you know the word of God. But when it comes to the application of the word, that is where the problem has always been. But when we come to church, we have hearers and we have doers. Hearers deceive themselves, doers excel. No, do it for him. Come on, do it for him. Give him glory. I have said serious things this morning to you. Some of them, if certain men of God are here, they will never be happy about it. But it's the truth I'm telling you. If a senior prophet can deceive a junior prophet, then be very careful. If Noah can drink, Bible will still call him by faith. Noah was the righteous among them. Bible will still call him righteous. If Noah can drink, just imagine at his drunk time, you going for advice. What advice will he give you? So when men get human, they can fail us. But can God get human? He's always consistent. Jesus is consistent. Hallelujah. Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. Jesus is the life. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our covenant. Jesus is our life. That's it.
And no, no, no.
Many years ago, we used to sing a song.
He
said, I will worship the Lord, for he is worthy. I will lay down my sword. The Prince of Peace is his name. King of the flood, the Lord is mighty. The Lord can quench. He is my peace, peace. When troubles roll, Jehovah sees. Jehovah knows, he is my peace. I have forgotten the lyrics. He is our peace.
Oh yeah, so much.
When you get home, download that song, Leonard Peterson. Download it. Listen to it. It's not for nothing. Whatever you don't find the peace of God. I said, you are doing it. You don't find the peace of God.
Oh yeah, baby.
You feel disturbed inside. And when you stop it, don't just stop it. Thank the Holy Ghost. Thank you for guiding me.
Oh, yeah,
sometimes it looks costly. But you'll be very surprised that the deliverance is more valuable.
There's
a problem, manager. This is our problem. This is why we are getting frustrated as Christians. And we find ourselves with a lot of things. The Bible says that he is not an altar of confusion. The Bible said, it is not of works, it is by grace, lest any man should boast. So if it is water, it is not Jesus. It must be purely Jesus. It must not be Jesus second grade, third grade, fourth grade. It must be purely Jesus. They cannot believe you, then it is not the Lord. must be Jesus. It must be Jesus. It must be Jesus. It must be Jesus. Whatever Jesus cannot do, may he remain undone. Wherever Jesus cannot take us, may we never get there. Whatever Jesus cannot give us, may we never have it. It must be Jesus. It must be Jesus.
Whatever Jesus cannot give us, may we never have it.
Maybe Jesus to be fire come.
Whatever Jesus cannot take us, may we never get there.
Yeah, Jesus, ain't you mean yeah?
Whatever Jesus cannot do, may we never have.
It must be Jesus.
I will say Jesus.
Prophet Major, apostles so.
Prophet
it must Major, be Jesus.
Apostles so.
It must be Jesus. 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 He's not just a person. He's also a substance. His wisdom. His peace. He's our joy. He's our strength. He's our everything. It must be Jesus. I kept to tell you. That marriage must be Jesus. That job must be Jesus. That decision you're about to take must be Jesus. That healing, that healing, that deliverance, it must be Jesus. That gift must be Jesus.
I will say yes.
It must be Jesus.
I will say yes.
Peter said, if it is you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. But in your coming, I will not heal the sick. I will not take the sickness from you. I will not take that thing from you. I will not take that poverty from you. I will not take a shame. But I want you to walk with that towards me. The storms will still be raging, Peter. The storms are still raging. But I need you to come. Peter stepped out of the boat and started walking on the sea. The storms were on. Walking on the sea. The storms were on. And Jesus stood there watching Peter. The Bible said that Peter started sinking. Why? He took his attention from Jesus and considered the knowledge of the things that are happening around him. He started criticizing, started commenting, started worrying, started hurting, started getting disturbed. And by the time he could say, Jack, he started sinking. The only thing that saved Peter was his prayer. No matter where you have gotten to this morning, your prayer will save him. I said your prayer will save him. Peter shouted, Jesus save me. And the Bible says Jesus stretched forth his hand, grabbed him and took him out. That is how amazing it is. Look at how an object will be sinking in water. The speed, the gravity exertion of the thing. It means that Jesus is faster than scientific forces. He was able to stretch to hold Peter before he sank. Get a conclusion here as we close. Don't call it Jesus because you are healed. Don't call it Jesus because you think there is tranquility and stability around you. Don't call it Jesus because you think all things are working well. We call it Jesus because we are in charge of it. Because greater is you is in us than he that is in the world. So the storm may be raging, the sickness may be there, the pain will be high, but we believe in him. Like Job will say, Job said, I will still keep my faith in him. When I was nothing, he made me something. If I have nothing, I'm not now going to curse him. Be stable. God's focus is not on the sea, it's on you. Jesus' focus was not on the sea, it was on Peter. It's on you. Your ability to have power power over the elements of the world. The conditions, the situation in the marriage, the situation in the family, being in charge, that many parties are happening. But you realize you are stable. You are in charge. You are okay. That is what we call the peace. That's what the scripture says. He said the mountains are moving. The hills are shaking. But the covenant, the God of covenant of peace, still remains. He still remains. He will never disappoint you. I say he will never disappoint you. He will never fail you. I say he will never fail you. He will never give up on you. Thank you guys. You can sit down for me. Have you been blessed this morning? Hello.
Hi.
Have you been blessed this morning?
Yes, sir. And a pair will you sure.
Somebody is here.
Obi waha.
Like your BP.
I said, oh, BP, no.
Pastor.
How so for? My heart.
Jesus has power to keep it there.
Yes,
to keep
it there. To me, so. Be man,
it is not only miracle when it is healed, but it is more miraculous when it is not healed and you outlive it. When the doctor said you are going to die 3 days and you didn't die and you are still living and the sickness is still there, it is more miraculous.
And you say when you are resenting and you are dead, when you are dead, say, bro, you are ready, what that's so etching, and for brother, what a fucker say, and be you wait for now, so what that's
so
etching.
So don't believe in him when all things are well.
Only.
For the scripture says in the book of Hebrews, it says all things work together. They work together, both the good and the bad. They work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. At the end of the day, there is one thing. Last week the Holy Ghost was giving me interpretation and understanding to the scripture in the book of Matthew that says that I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I was praying about certain things that happened to our church and the Lord told me, he said, I built my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I was talking to somebody and he made a statement. He said, Pastor, I'm not ready to, destroy the church. Immediately it came out of me. I said, never even think like that. Because the builder of the church is jealous of his church. Even me, I can't destroy the church. Even
me.
I'll build my church. What it means is that. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. He said the gates of hell shall not come against the church. He said they will not prevail. They will come against it. They will throw arrows. They will do everything. They will bomb it. They will send nuclear bomb. They will do everything. But they will not prevail. I thought you would shout unto the Lord and give God glory. They will not prevail against your life. 1,000 will fall at your side. 10,000 on your left hand side. With your eyes you will see the reward of the wicked. They will not prevail. That's it. That's what I'm telling you. This is what he sent me to tell you. They can't prevail. I don't care what you are going through, but I came to tell you, whatever is the fight, whatever is the battle, whatever is the challenge, you have a good news. No matter how raging it is, he cannot prevail.
No
way.
Hallelujah.
No way.
No way. No way. No way.
No way. Paul said something. He said, we die daily.
Yeah, we die.
Paul said, when I see troubles, Paul, I become excited. I become happy. Why? Because when I am weak, then I am strong. The strength of God is made perfect in my weakness. This is our month of Jesus' peace. Lift your hands and worship him. Quick. Marching quite halfway. Come on, lift your voice. Bless his name. He was in my world anymore. I don't see no make out to swear with her. I take a share with her. Many pledging her, who said. Pick it up. Let your voice, are you praying? Thank him. And begin to pray and tell the Lord, stabilize my heart by your peace. Stabilize my heart by your peace. In this marriage, stabilize my heart by your peace. Stabilize my heart by your peace. Come on. Come on. I didn't quite when you yam. Many penny now, sir. Only lift your voice and pray. Adama shit, Alama,
You can share with your friends, take a screenshot and share it on your social stories and tag us at KMC Worldwide. For more information, visit kmcworldwide.org. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.